This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, once again in the studios of KUT in Austin, Texas. Thanks so much for listening.
This is James Wright Foley, an American citizen of your country. As a government, you have been at the forefront of the aggression towards the Islamic State. You have plotted against us and gone far out of your way to find reasons to interfere in our affairs.
This voice was among the last things heard by the late journalist James Foley, brutally beheaded by ISIS while in custody in Syria. His death, seen around the world, carried out by this evil ranting from the black-hooded terrorist called Jihadi John. He's identified as Mohammed Emwazi, a British-accented militant who also appeared in videos with Stephen Sotloff and Peter Kasich when they were beheaded. Reports today that he may have been killed in an airstrike.
We cannot yet be certain if the strike was successful. But let me be clear. I've always said that we would do whatever was necessary, whatever it took, to track down Emwazi and to stop him taking the lives of others.
Prime Minister David Cameron speaking today in London. The news arrives as Kurdish forces advance against ISIS in Sinjar and as American forces increase attacks on ISIS-held oil fields in northern Syria. Joining us is Eric Schmidt, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. He says Jihadi John may be a symbol of the brutality of ISIS, but if he's indeed gone, it reduces the reach of ISIS to disrupt and create fear far beyond the battlefield.
Well, in many ways, he's the face of ISIS. For many, particularly English-speaking citizens around the world, he's the guy who's been in front of the videos for many of the American, British, and other Western hostages who were executed, beheaded by the Islamic State. And so I think he's come to symbolize, in many ways, the vicious brutality of the Islamic State. But there are very few people like him who came to be just seen to, you know, the specter of death shows up once again in his black mask and all with that, as you said, a British accent, kind of taunting the West, and is, again, English-speaking terrorist who joined this group. And so I think it's important in that sense that the Allies felt, U.S. and Britain in particular, felt they needed to take him off the battlefield.
Do you think this attack represents some kind of escalation as diplomacy seems to be picking up speed and there's an initiative, an offensive going on in Sinjar and the Ramadi campaign seems to be increasing in some way, that both of these are increasing in their activity, anticipating some sort of endgame?
Well, I think what you've heard from President Obama, you heard from Secretary of State John Kerry in a speech yesterday on Syria, is that you're going to see much more of a push on all these fronts, the diplomatic front, the military front, the financial front. We have a story today talking about how the U.S. is going to be much more aggressive in going after the oil fields that produce one of the biggest sources of revenue for ISIS. So I think there was some frustration over the summer that the campaign overall wasn't having the kind of effect that it wanted on ISIS, and now at least you're seeing some efforts to ramp it up on many fronts.
Do you think that the cooperation between the U.S. and the Kurds has taken on new meaning or a new sense of camaraderie, for lack of a better word? It seems in some ways, looking at the Sinjar campaign, that we're, in some sense, wittingly or not, fighting for Kurdish independence and less a battle against ISIS, which is also going on in Ramadi as well with the Iraqi forces.
Well, certainly that's a perception the U.S. is sensitive to, particularly with its ally Turkey, which fears exactly the scenario you just painted, that the Kurds will be emboldened on all sides, whether it's in Turkey, Iraq, or Syria. This will embolden them for some type of state of their own. But the U.S. is kind of down to not very many reliable players on the ground they can work with. The Kurds have been a reliable partner dating all the way back to the first Gulf War in the early 1990s. So they knew they could rely on them in northern Iraq. What's been a little bit of a surprise was how they could rely on the Syrian Kurds across the border to help clear ISIS from much of the northeastern border between Syria and Turkey. So what you've now seen is not only, as you said, U.S. advisors on the ground in northern Iraq and Sinjar helping to direct airstrikes in this latest operation, and of course the president ordering us up to 50 special operations forces to deploy to eastern Syria to help coalition of Syrian Kurds and Arabs who are pressing toward Raqqa, the self-proclaimed capital of ISIS in eastern Syria. So the Kurds are playing a very important role, largely because they've turned out to be one of the few reliable partners on the ground that can take territory.
Eric Schmidt is national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Eric.
You're welcome.